The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are Justin Taze of Raccoon Valley Radio in Perry and Jake Bourgeois with the Anamosa Journal, Eureka. Justin, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
Well, Senator, thank you for this opportunity. I appreciate it. There are lots of things going on in the Iowa legislature, specifically this last week. One of them was a recent bill that made its way to Governor Reynolds, easing kind of gun restrictions as it relates to people being required to purchase a permit. Can you just talk a little bit about how that could potentially impact things like background checks when you have to purchase a firearm, or, you know, those private-to-private sales?
Well, I thought that the bill that the legislature passed was to be able to carry without getting a special permission to carry. I didn't know that it interfered with the original purchase of guns, which would, if you're buying from a licensed gun dealer, obviously has to be done with a with an FBI check. In regard to sales that are otherwise, you know, if I sold a gun to my grandson, wouldn't it be a little ridiculous that you'd have to get a background check in that particular area? Now, when it comes to the right to carry without a permit at the federal level, I sponsored legislation that a co-sponsored legislation that would allow if an Iowan went transit another state that didn't allow carry of weapons, then you could transit that state and you could go to another state and do it legally if they had reciprocity. So since the federal government controls interstate commerce, that's where I'm trying to help people that legitimately carry to be able to do it not just only in Iowa, but wherever they might go legally otherwise. Do you want to jump in?
Yep, Jake, you're up.
But, yeah, thank you, Senator, for the time and the message up top. I know you took a trip down to check out things at the border. What did you want to learn from that trip, and what were some of your big takeaways from what you saw down there?
Well, one of the things I wanted to learn was to get out to the public how much of a crisis it is and how 4,000 people are jammed into an area where there should only be 250 people, and the fact that it was a national security issue, the fact it was a public health issue from the super spreader of COVID that's going on among that group of people, and also get a handle on drugs and criminals crossing our barrier since Biden, well, I guess, opened the border up to a greater extent. And I learned all of that. But the most preposterous thing that I learned was the fact that the Border Patrol was bringing the new administration up to date even before the inauguration, and they were told, leave the present policies in place or you're going to have a crisis. Well, they didn't listen to the professional people, and they have a crisis. And I suppose I'll stop with one other thing. The saddest of everything is parents on the other side of the border leaving almost babies. When I say babies, I don't mean less than a year old, but maybe 2 to 3 to 4 years old with maybe a telephone number written on their chest or their arms or something, with the idea that it's a message to the Border Patrol. Here's a kid that parents want to get a better life, and we got some friends or relatives in Iowa, get a hold of them, or I shouldn't just say Iowa, somewhere in the United States, get a hold of them and get these kids to them. So Border Patrol, 85% of them ought to be protecting the border. Probably 85% of them are babysitting, and the other 15% can't control the border, and we have drugs and criminals even people convicted of murder coming in, or wanted for murder coming in, and 800 of that since the start of this fiscal year. Let's go on to the next question.
Absolutely. So with the recent American Rescue Plan Act, the Iowa legislature is looking if those funds can be used for broadband availability. And here in central Iowa, there's a survey going around to local counties asking about if their internet availability is up to par. Can you just speak a little bit to, you know, maybe what the federal government is looking at in relation to getting broadband availability to those communities that don't have it?
Well, I think that there's a good opportunity that some of that money from the $1.9 trillion could be used for what you're asking for. I know that Governor Reynolds has her own program to put money over 5 years into that. And I also know that we have three programs already in existence at the federal level, but we're still coming up way short. And I think the pandemic has brought attention to that from this standpoint, that we know that there's holes in the use of telemedicine because we don't have uniform broadband services, and also in distant learning. So the kids sometimes can't get the proper education if they're doing it by computer. So this has all brought attention to it. And then I would think that since this is supposed to help the COVID situation and we came up short on telehealth, that the state of Iowa could use some of that money for that. And then the other thing is, in the infrastructure program that the president's going to announce in Pittsburgh this very day, I think he's going to have some broadband in that. But there's a need for it, particularly in rural America, not just Iowa. Okay, next question.
Yeah, just piggybacking off that last question, are you expecting this to be this latest bill that passed to be the last round of COVID relief, or if there is going to be another round, is it going to be, are there certain areas that the federal government is looking at addressing with the relief? Where is that at moving forward?
Well, it's kind of a tongue-in-cheek answer to your question, but I don't know whether you never spend enough money to satisfy the Democrats. But if the economy improves like we say it's going to improve, where, you know, within 3 or 4 months we might be showing a growth of the economic growth of the country to be 6 or 7% by the last quarter, I think they'd be embarrassed to talk about spending any more money if you're going to have 6 or 7% growth. And every prediction of the future on economic growth is always 1% higher than it was 3 months ago. So who knows how much growth we might have in the next 6 months. But it's supposed to be darn good, and you shouldn't have to have any more checks going out from the Treasury Department or a federal add-on to state unemployment. Next question.
Absolutely. So with the kind of violence that has gone on around the country really in this last couple years, you kind of talked about the importance for law enforcement to be funded. And right now in the Iowa legislature, there are certain bills that are going around called Back the Blue bills. Can you just talk a little bit about the importance for that funding for police departments, whether that be in the Midwest or around the country?
Yeah. Well, in every city where they've defunded police, and not 100% defunding, but in some big cities, millions of dollars taken out of police, and then very difficult to get recruits under that. A lot of early retirements and stuff like that. There's a big breakdown in morale. And the best evidence that it's bad for the economy and bad for our society, it's just the dramatic increases in murders in some of these big cities where they've defunded the police. And I don't think I need to give you another answer, but Back to Blue wants to let people know that there's a big, big support for police in Iowa and around the country. And we got, if we want a peaceful society, we got to back the police. And that doesn't mean back the police if they violate the law. They got to follow the law. They have to be humane how they do their stuff, but they got a responsibility to keep the public safe and the public, the 100% of the public safe. And the police, we count on them to do that. Okay, the last question now.
Yeah, you had talked about a little bit about telemedicine and making sure healthcare is available in those rural areas. And I know something sort of aimed at addressing that passed last week and sort of protecting rural healthcare clinics. Can you talk a little bit about the Rural Health Clinic Protection Act and how that aims to address rural healthcare?
Yeah, well, it was pretty simple in this case for Iowa. There were about four or five or maybe six communities that were left out of another rural piece of legislation, rural health clinic piece of legislation we had, and we passed the bill to get them covered like everybody else was covered. So it was only oversight of some stuff that happened last year. But rural health clinics are very, very important for delivery of health care in rural America. Thanks to both of you. Goodbye, and I'm getting ready to go to my next town meeting.
Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Dustin and Jake, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.